Let's read together Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 56. Now in this portion of Luke chapter 1, we have Gabriel's announcement to Mary that she will be the mother of the Messiah. Then we have the record of Mary's visit to Elizabeth and her song of praise known as the Magnificat. Let's begin by reading verses 26 through 45. Luke chapter 1, beginning at verse 26. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah, and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. And it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. But why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 1 with some background notes. Now, for our background notes, let's start with two questions. Question number one, why was Gabriel's response to Mary's question different than Gabriel's response to Zacharias' question? In verse 18, when Gabriel announced the birth of John the Baptist, Zacharias said, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well advanced in years." And the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God, and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." In the case of Mary, it was different. When Mary said in verse 34, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Gabriel did not see this as unbelief and gave Mary the answer that she would have the child by virgin birth. Why the difference between Gabriel's rebuke to Zacharias but kind words to Mary? The answer has to do with belief and unbelief. Zacharias was asking for a sign because he doubted the word of the Lord. Mary did not doubt the word of the Lord. She was just asking, how would God do it? Do you see the lesson? It's not wrong to go to the Lord in an attitude of faith and ask the Lord about things that we don't understand. But to demand a sign, as Zacharias did, because of doubt and unbelief, that's totally different and wrong. The other question for our background notes is, why did Mary go to see Elizabeth after Gabriel's announcement? Well, there may be several answers to this question, but certainly one of them would be for mutual encouragement. Mary would be able to tell Elizabeth. Elizabeth would understand that God was a God of miracles because she had been barren but was now going to have a child in her old age. And think of the help that Mary could be to her older relative in her last 3 months of pregnancy. When Mary arrived and greeted Elizabeth, we read that the unborn John the Baptist leaped for joy in the womb of Elizabeth. The fact that an unborn fetus leaped for joy certainly supports the biblical position that life begins at conception. Joy is a human emotion. Elizabeth recognized that Mary was to be the mother of the Messiah and refers to Mary as the mother of my Lord. Notice the scripture never refers to Mary as the mother of God. God does not have a mother. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Now it is true that Jesus is God, but he is man as well. Mary was the mother of Jesus. Jesus was and is the eternal Son of God who became incarnate and was born to the Virgin Mary and named Jesus. Let's move now to our doctrinal teaching points for Luke chapter 1. Doctrinal point number one, the virgin birth of Jesus is a fact of history. The virgin birth of Jesus is a fact of history. The virgin birth of Jesus was not dreamed up by the early church to transform the human Jesus of history into the divine Christ of faith. No, that's a lie which skeptics have used for years and, by the way, made popular recently by certain books of fiction known, for example, as the Da Vinci Code. The virgin birth was not made up by the early church. It is a fact of history. Do you think that Dr. Luke, who investigated everything thoroughly, as he said, would have been taken in by the story of a virgin birth if it wasn't true and supported by the evidence? Now, Luke probably got the details of Gabriel's announcement from Mary herself during his thorough investigation of the facts. Mary and Joseph were engaged but not married. The angel Gabriel told Mary that through a unique overpowering of the Holy Spirit, she would miraculously conceive and bear a son who was to be named Jesus. We see in verse 45 and the following Magnificat that Mary believed the fact of the virgin birth. And we learn in Matthew chapter 2 that after some struggles, Joseph believed the fact of the virgin birth. And we see here in Luke chapter 1 that Dr. Luke believed the fact of the virgin birth. Not to believe in the historical fact of the virgin birth of Jesus is to doubt the truth of Scripture. The virgin birth of Jesus is a fact of history. Doctrinal point number two. The virgin birth of Jesus is a truth of theology. The virgin birth of Jesus is a truth of theology. Theology is the study of the doctrine of God. Now, it's often been argued and discussed whether God could have had the incarnation take place without the virgin birth of Jesus. Certainly, there is some room here for discussion, but the fact of the matter is that in the eternal counsels of God, it was determined that the second person of the Godhead would take on humanity and become incarnate without losing any of his deity. And the method and means of the incarnation would include virgin birth. Born of a woman to ensure his humanity, but virgin born to ensure the sinless nature of his deity. Anyone conceived naturally has a sinful nature from the moment of conception. It is a consequence of the fall of man. But by being conceived of the Holy Spirit, the Lord Jesus was fully human, but did not have a sinful nature, and was holy and sinless, and therefore able to die for our sins. Notice what Gabriel tells Mary about the child she will bear in verses 32 and 33. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, certainly an indication of his deity. He would be the Messiah and inherit the throne of his father David, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is not the promise of the church or some throne of David in heaven, but the promise of an earthly kingdom for the house of Jacob, verse 33. That is Israel. The church is not the house of Jacob. This promise to Israel will be fulfilled when the Lord returns to this earth with his church and sets up his millennial kingdom, which will last for 1,000 years and merge with eternity and have no end. All of these messianic promises demanded that the Messiah, as the Son of the Most High, be sinless because God is holy. How could this be if the Messiah was also to be fully human in order to be able to die? The answer, the virgin birth. The virgin birth is a truth of theology. Now, what about practical application from this portion of Luke chapter 1? Let's magnify the Lord for his blessings as Mary did. Let's magnify the Lord for his blessings as Mary did. Verses 46 through 56. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior, for he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever." And Mary remained with her about 3 months and returned to her house. In these verses, we have Mary's song of praise known as the Magnificat because of the opening word in the Latin translation. The song consists of a number of quotations from the Old Testament scriptures. Like Hannah's song of praise in 1 Samuel chapter 2, Mary's song of praise magnified God for his blessings on herself and on his people Israel. Notice in verse 47 that Mary referred to the Lord as God my Savior. Mary needed to be saved from her sins, just as every other descendant of Adam. Now let me ask you, when was the last time you magnified the Lord as Mary did in verse 49? For he who is mighty has done great things for me. When Mary magnified the Lord for his blessings on his people, she praised the Lord for humbling the proud and caring for the poor and oppressed, verses 50 through 53. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. And of course, Mary magnified the Lord for keeping his promises to his people, verses 54 and 55. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. We should follow Mary's example. Let's magnify the Lord for his blessings as Mary did.